Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for the great mysteries revealed to us in the Word. We pray that the blessed Holy Spirit who gave this Word will illumine our hearts and apply it to our lives. For Jesus Christ's sake and glory. Amen. Jesus has revealed some shocking things to his disciples. First, that he is going away and leaving them. Second, that one of their very own, one of the 12, will betray him. And third, that Peter, the bravest and boldest of the apostles, will deny him three times. So to allay their shock and fear, Jesus tells them not to allow their hearts to be troubled, neither let them be afraid. All these seemingly terrible events are actually part of God's wise and loving plan. That's something for us all to remember. All things work together for good to those who love God. Behind a frowning providence, God hides a smiling face. Furthermore, Jesus reveals to them that although he's leaving them, physically, he's not actually leaving them because he will come to them permanently in the Holy Spirit by living inside them. And this promise is not just for apostles, it's for every believer in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that live, St. Paul said, it's Christ who lives in me. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul speaks of the temple of God in two different ways. He says the Christian church, the mystical body of Christ, is a temple of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then later in the same epistle, he says the individual believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not, he says, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are one spirit with the Lord. Knowing that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that Christ never leaves you nor forsakes you, is a great comfort in the ups and downs, the crosses and losses of this life. Now let's begin with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. This word comforter is the same Greek word that in St. John's first epistle is translated advocate. He's a comforter because he's an advocate. An advocate is someone who stands with you to support and defend you, to counsel you, to be your aid in difficulty. This promises to all true Christians. And what's a true Christian? Well, Jesus said it's one who keeps his commandments. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Well, he says the unbelieving world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. They are dead to the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He reveals the truth about God, what we must believe about him. He reveals the truth of what duty God requires of man. And the world cannot receive this. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, is called the Spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus says, I will come to you. He comes to us through the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, it's because Jesus came to you when you would never be able to come to him. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Because Christ lives forever, you will live forever. Because you're in union with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We've been caught up into eternal union with God Himself. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Those who truly love Christ, and he repeatedly says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Many people have the commandments of God, they know them, but they don't keep them. So Jesus says it's not just having them, but it's keeping them. They don't keep them because they don't love God. A child who loves his parents will obey his parents. A man or woman who loves Jesus Christ will obey him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is St. Jude, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? That's a question I always often ask myself. Why did God leave billions of people in their sins and yet awaken me? Why didn't he manifest himself to all? Well, you know, he didn't have to manifest himself to anyone. The whole human race fell. But he did select some, in spite of their wickedness and evil nature, to be saved. Jesus said he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. He hid these things from Albert Einstein and revealed them unto babes. That means you and me. Nobody's in the eyes of the world. Somebody in the eyes of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is one of the most remarkable texts in the entire Bible about the Holy Trinity. The two words that stand out are we and our. We will live in him. Who's we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our abode will be in him. You can understand this only if you understand that even though God is in some mysterious way three persons, and believe me, we don't understand that, he is still one God of one substance. And he's not divisible. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, you don't have one third of God, you have all of God. St. Paul says, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in the Christian dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We will make our abode in you. This fact of the indwelling of God in the Christian explains the phenomenon of the changed life. Christianity is about changed lives. There's a line from a Christian song that always comes to me. I don't know what the song is. Mrs. Weber probably knows it. He changed my life completely. I love that line. He changed my life completely. Certainly true of me. The scripture says all unbelievers are under the influence of Satan. He's a prince of the power of the air that worketh now in the children of disobedience, all of them, to a greater or lesser extent. By common grace, God restrains the evil in people so even the unsaved don't do all the evil they could. Occasionally we read of an individual from whom God has withdrawn practically all common grace. A Jack the Ripper, Ted Bundy. But especially in a Christianized country like this, for the sake of the Christians, God's common grace restrains the evil in the unsaved so they can be decent neighbors and so they won't attack you. But for those who have repented of their sins and given their lives to Christ, it's not common grace, it's saving grace. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And your life is changed because you are the temple of God. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This promise is, first of all, to the disciples who wrote the New Testament. If you ever wondered how they could remember all these facts about Christ's life in the Gospels, here's the answer. The Holy Spirit was given to them that by special inspiration they would remember all these things and record them infallibly. So what we have in our hands is the very Word of God. But the promise is also to you and me. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring us new revelations and new doctrines, but he does cause us to remember what we have learned. And he does give us the ability to understand it and to believe it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many of you know if your heart is troubled or afraid, you're not living in peace? Because you're not appropriating the legacy of peace Christ left us. He says, I give you peace. So what you have to do is not allow your heart to be troubled, not allow it to be afraid. Or as St. Paul says, let the peace of God reign in your hearts. It's already there. You have to let it reign. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. My Father is greater than I. There was a heresy in the ancient church called Arianism that took this as one of their proof texts to deny what Christ said everywhere else, that he was equal with the Father. They say he's not God. But you know why Christ was crucified? He claimed equality with God, which he did. Modern heretics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, have resurrected this ancient heresy, denying that Christ is God. So what does Jesus mean? Well, the context makes it clear. You will rejoice because I'm going away. Because at the present time, the Father is greater than I. I am in the state of humiliation. I've taken on the form of a servant, a suffering servant at that. But if I go unto the Father, I'll be king of the universe. That's why you should rejoice. See, otherwise this text doesn't make any sense. Why rejoice that I'm going away? Well, you should be happy for me because I'll no longer be inferior, not in essence, but in position to the Father. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk with you much, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Jesus says he won't be able to talk with them much further because the prince of this world, Satan, is coming for him. He's coming for him in the temple guards. He's coming for him in the Roman soldiers. He's coming for him in Judas Iscariot. But he has nothing in him. There's no sin in our Lord. He's without sin. He will die not for his sins, of which he has none, but for the sins of those who will believe in him and be saved. And by his death and resurrection, he will cancel our sins and make us, you and me, temples of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank thee. That was done for us, but we could never do for ourselves. Taken away our sin and guilt. Given to us the gift of everlasting life. Made us poor lost sinners into saints and temples of God. Grant that we not let our hearts be troubled nor afraid, but let the peace of God dwell in our hearts where God himself dwells. Amen.